Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Pro Football Hall of Famer and former Buffalo Bill, Andre Reed. You're listening to Nate and the Fellas on Circle the Wagons podcast. Nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills. Go Bills.
Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
Welcome to the Circling the Wagons podcast, a podcast discussing the Bills all year round with interviews, news, recaps, and insightful fan discussion. Most times. Here's your host and lifelong Bills fan, Nate.
Hey, Bills Mafia. Welcome to another episode of Circling the Wagons, a Buffalo Bills fan podcast. I'm your host, Nate. Thank you so much for joining us with another pre-draft episode where we will discuss some wide receivers that the Buffalo Bills could take in the NFL draft around the time that they pick. Maybe some earlier receivers that if these guys end up going to the Bills or being around the time that the Bills should run to the podium, trade whatever they can to get these guys. We're going to talk about that. We have some news and notes from the third and fourth waves of free agency and some other topics as always. So I'm joined in this episode by my co-host, John. John, are you ready to talk some potential Bills wide receivers in the draft?
Sure. Why not?
It's fun. It's fun to speculate. Who knows if we get any of them right or anything, but it's good to talk about them. It's good to see who's out there, you know, thoughts on some of these guys and see, you know, like where they've been taken. Because last week I mentioned, you know, who the most mock drafted players to the Buffalo Bills have been, and we're going to discuss some of those people, some of those players. So that'll be a good discussion. So spoiler alert, we are not draft experts, which I don't think anyone that's ever listened to this podcast would assume that we are, but we're going to give you some brief overviews of these folks, maybe why we like them, maybe why we don't like them for the Buffalo Bills, especially knowing that what we know about the Bills and their offense and guys that make sense for them. So, John, real quick, news and notes. The Bills signed another defensive tackle to the roster this past week.
Yes. So just after signing Austin Johnson, who we talked about last week, they also signed Deshaun Williams, who's played for the Bengals, Broncos, and most recently Carolina. So another depth signing behind Oliver and Daquan Jones, which they desperately need depth. So that's good.
Yeah, just another depth signing. Like you said, I'm not putting too much into this. I mean, if they end up drafting someone that they like, this is a potential cut. We'll see. You know, we just never know at this point in the season what the role will be for him. But I mean, you know, you gotta like some more depth along defensive tackle. John, with all these signings, so they have Ed Oliver and Daquan Jones as their starters, which we know about. Now they have Deshaun Williams and Austin Johnson now as the backups. Do you think this pushes down our defensive tackle needs at all? Or do you think, because right now we have that as our second tier needs, our first tier needs, which we're going to discuss tonight, are wide receiver. And then another night we'll discuss safety, but wide receiver is our first tier needs. And then second tier needs, we have basically, the defensive line, defensive end, defensive tackle, and cornerback. Do you think this pushes down defensive tackle? I mean, because defensive end, we have four players there, right? So Casey Tuhill, which they just signed, obviously, you know, they re-signed A.J. Epinesa, and then you have Von Miller and Greg Rousseau. Like, they have four players, two starters, two depth players, rotational players on both the end and defensive tackle. Does that move the meter for you at all for those needs?
Not a lot. I think it's still tier two. And you can argue maybe bump defensive end a little bit above tackle, but they're both tier two, I'd say.
To me, they don't really move.
Yeah, and corner's not far behind, but yeah.
To me, they don't really move the needle too much. Like the Casey Tuhill signing, I'm thinking of, like this signing, even the Austin Johnson signing. Like we're hoping, but we're never. You know, they could potentially draft someone on day one, two, or three that could make the team or, you know, be a depth piece over these guys. It's not out of the realm of possibility. So, yeah, more depth. more depth. It doesn't change my needs at all. Again, like I said, we have wide receiver and safety still as our first tier set of needs. The good thing, John, is it sounds like, you know, I was listening to some other analysts discuss safety, and I don't know how much we'll get into depth into these players in our draft coverage, but a lot of these guys can be found in later rounds, like as either, you know, others like actual safeties at their position or converted cornerbacks. So I'm not sure. We'll see when the time comes after we discuss wide receivers in this episode. I'm not sure it necessarily beckons the need for dedicating a whole episode to safeties because, you know, Poyer was what, like a fifth rounder, or Micah Hyde was like a fourth rounder. I mean, these guys that are good safeties aren't necessarily first round guys, right? So I was listening to an episode of podcast where they were talking about defensive tackles. It's like, if you look at the top 10 defensive tackles, only one of the top 10 highest paid defensive tackles, only one of them wasn't a first round pick, right? So like, that's a position where you kind of need to hit the first round for those guys. But I mean, if you look at safety, like those guys are all over the board draft-wise, the best ones.
Yeah, I agree. And also, if you look at available players in free agency, there's a lot of safeties still available. You got Julian Blackman, who visited the Bills a few weeks ago. He's still out there. Micah Hyde is still a free agent. You got guys like Justin Simmons is a free agent still. And there's a bunch of other guys. So they could still add through free agency as well as a draft pick at some point. But there's options.
Who of those three guys would you want them to sign?
Justin Simmons.
Justin Simmons. Defensive tackle. Stud depth,
safety.
Right?
Safety.
Oh, he's a safety. Oh, sorry. I'm thinking of another guy. Justin Simmons. So I guess if that's the case, you would have to figure that they'd be a safety over, Justin Simmons would be a safety over Mike Edwards, right? And then all of a sudden it moves it to like good depth with Mike Edwards as opposed to needing him to be a starter.
Right.
I like that. So John, wide receiver, as we mentioned, is our biggest need for the Buffalo Bills. Not only did they lose Gabe Davis, their number two wide receiver, but they need to think long term as to who they're going to have step in for Stephon Diggs at some point in time. He turns 30. You know, there's obviously some drama that we don't know for sure if it even means anything ever, but you just want to be ready. Just want to be ready just in case, because Stephon Diggs at one point was like, I'm kind of done with Minnesota. We'll see if he's ever feels that way about Buffalo. We're kind of thinking about it in the back of our head, but we don't have any concrete proof that he thinks that. So it's good to think ahead, right? Like, so we're thinking ahead for not only a starter this season at Gabe Davis's role, but also potentially a starter the long term to take over for Stephon Diggs.
All right, hear me out on this. How about Marvin Harrison?
I'm in. Let's do it.
All right. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Thanks for listening. Our plan for the draft is to draft Marvin Harrison. Boom, done. Just go to a top five pick. That's all. Just trade up to the top five. What's the big deal? I don't understand why this game happened. John, if you could get, first off, like, I think, you know, I mean, people talk about rankings. There's a lot of consensus out there in this draft. John, and first off, before we talk about, like, you know, these specific players, in general, this draft compared to like last year's draft when we were looking at some of the wide receivers, this has a lot more length than last year. Last year, there were like Zay Flowers, Jordan Addison was 6 foot, but like there wasn't a ton of length with these guys. Like they all seemed kind of short. Tank Dell is one of those guys. Josh Downs, like a lot of shorter wide receivers, 5'8", 5'9", 5'10". This year has plenty of wide receivers in the 6'1", 6'2", and above that are like really good, really fast players. So like, not only is there length in this draft, but there's a lot of speed. And when you think about, John, like the player that you want for the Buffalo Bills, are there any criteria? Cause you've been looking at some of these guys where you're like, I like that about that player. I like that about that player. I want our next wide receiver two, maybe wide receiver one, to have that role. Like what do you just say in general are like your most important characteristics as a broad term?
Yeah, obviously size, speed, consistency.
So one
those
thing
are
that
very general terms, but I mean, yeah.
So the Bills don't have a ton of size. The Bills don't have a ton of speed. So I can absolutely see exactly what you're saying. They have guys that can get open. I think Stephon Diggs is clearly one of those guys, but obviously, you know, Khalil Shakir is taking that next step. I think he's one of those guys also, right? So they have, I mean, Khalil Shakir's not slow, but he's not like 4.3 fast, right? Like he's faster than maybe Stephon Diggs a little bit. He's definitely faster than Gabe Davis. Go ahead.
No, finish your thought.
Well, I was going to say the thing that I look for in this wide receiver is kind of some of the things that I liked about Gabe Davis, and then the things that I want that he didn't have, right? Like I liked Gabe Davis' size. He was like 6'2", 215, big guy, strong guy, tall guy. I wish that he was better at getting open. I wish he had better hands. I wish he had more speed. I wish he had better route running ability. I feel like they kind of used him only in certain routes that would be good for him. So when I'm looking for a replacement, for me personally, I'm looking for a guy that, like you said, I mean, I like size, like length, but at the same time, Tyreek Hill is like 5'9" and is almost a 2,000 yard receiver. So like, you know, it's, I don't think size is as important as maybe speed. Hands is a thing. Like, obviously, like, I don't want a guy that has bad hands. I know when Quentin Johnson came out last year, they're like, here's a guy that's really tall, but he has bad hands and he doesn't play to his size. I'm like, pass, don't even bother. Like, don't, I don't want that guy. So, speed, ability to get open, hands, reliable hands, and like things that I'm willing to, you know, maybe give up is a guy that maybe hasn't run a ton of different routes because he wasn't asked to, right? So if you have a guy like, I know, you know, we'll get into this later, but that, those are the guys I'm looking for. Like they only have 1 year of production. Okay. That's fine because we don't need a guy that needs that. We need a guy that can be an impact right now, but we don't need him to be the guy this year. The Bills kind of have a little bit of luxury. They don't need a Jamar Chase this year. They need a guy that could maybe eventually after another year or two become a really good wide receiver, but he doesn't have to be today. Right. So that's what I'm thinking. Now, what were you going to say?
No, I like those thoughts. I'm on board with that. The only thing I was going to bring up is Curtis Samuel, who, if anything, is probably going to push Khalil Shakir down the depth chart.
You're right. And we're talking about speed. He has better speed than almost everyone on the roster. So yeah, that's a good point. Curtis Samuel and Khalil Shakir, that'll be an interesting trait or an interesting training camp battle. So we'll see how that goes. So the first three wide receivers are most likely going to go off the board in the top 10, top 15, which the Bills most likely will not have a chance of drafting, is Marvin Harrison Jr., the wide receiver out of Ohio State. We have Malik Nabers, the wide receiver out of LSU, and then Rome Odunze, the wide receiver out of Washington. Now, I don't think we should spend hardly any time on these guys, John, because I don't think they're going to be there. But if they are there in like, I don't know, like 5 to 7 picks above the Bills where they could trade up, they should absolutely do everything they can to trade up because I think all three of those guys are potential wide receiver ones, if not this year, like the year after for sure. Like there's a lot of everything that we mentioned that we wanted in wide receivers. I think these guys have. So, and Yak, that's another thing. Yak, I didn't mention that. Like yards after the catch, I want a wide receiver that can get yards after catch. And a lot of these guys, I mean, all these guys can do that. So, John, do you agree with that assessment from the start? Like if they can get any of these guys, like do it, but you know, without completely mortgaging your future. Like if Rome Odunze like somehow falls to like number 20, like try to get him if you can.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay. So no point in belaboring any of those guys. John, who is someone after those top three that the Bills, real quick, sorry, I got to jump in. The top three most drafted players to the Buffalo Bills right now are Brian Thomas Jr., Adonai Mitchell, Brian Thomas Jr. being the wide receiver out of LSU, Adonai Mitchell, the wide receiver out of Texas, and Troy Franklin, the wide receiver out of Oregon. So those are the most mock drafted players. So I think we're going to hit on all three of those today. But what's a wide receiver that you were doing some research on that you kind of liked and you think like could potentially be the guy?
Well, the next two guys on my list were Brian Thomas and Adonai Mitchell. Just, you know, size mismatch, speed, and they just seem like really good players. So they were definitely next on my list. I think another guy worth mentioning is Xavier Leggett, South Carolina.
So I'm going to start with Brian Thomas Jr. He's a 6'3", 210-pound wide receiver out of LSU. Share the screen. I mean, you're talking a guy who's got size, 6'3", 210 pounds, a 4.33 40-yard dash. I mean, the guy is just, he's got ways of getting open, release. He's got good straight line speed, obviously with a 4.3. I mean, he's got size that you just, you can't teach size. He's got it all. The only thing, one of his biggest knocks, John, is that he only did it in one season, right? So like there's not a lot of history of him having a lot of success at the collegiate level. So when I look at a player like this, I'm like, you know what? He's got good hands, can get open. He's got speed. He's got size. I'm willing to take a little bit or give a little bit away in the fact that he hasn't been doing it for three seasons. Now, if he had been doing it for three seasons, he'd probably be up there with those top three guys. Maybe he goes above Roma Dunze or whatever. But because he doesn't, that's probably why he's as the fourth or fifth best wide receiver. I love that. I love that pick. If he's up there in the 20s, in my opinion, I say the Bills run up there to do what they can to try to draft him. I think he'll be gone by then. But I think there'll be a one run of wide receivers like in the teens or something like that. And players are going to, or teams are going to draft up, trade up. But I think if he's available in the later teens and early 20s, like those top three guys, I think the Bills should go grab him. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree. I don't think he'll make it to us, but there could be a trade up possibility. I'm not sure.
Just to give people an idea, in 2023, he was a third-team Associate All-Press All-American, second-team All-SEC, led the FBC with 17 receiving touchdowns, played in all 13 games with 12 starts. I mean, I would absolutely. I don't think he'd be available, but I would love if he was. John, let's talk about Adonai Mitchell. There were some things that you liked about him, because I know I did. You know what's funny? When you said Adonai Mitchell, I know he's a Texas wide receiver. I remember back in the day you liked Lima Swede a lot for the Buffalo Bills. Remember we were looking at first-round wide receivers like in the James Hardy year, and they obviously didn't go with Lima Swede, but I remember you loving that guy. So that's what made me think of you with the next Texas wide receiver, the next 6 foot, you know, 2-6 foot three Texas wide receiver.
Was that the year they got James Hardy?
Yeah. I forget who they went with in the first round. I don't know if that was Poslosny that year, and then they went James Hardy, or they went Marshawn Lynch and then James Hardy. I can't remember.
Yeah, I don't remember.
But yeah, another wide receiver with size. You're talking 6 foot two, 205 pounds. Another fast wide receiver, 4.34 in the 40-yard dash. So again, a guy that has size, a guy that has speed, a guy that can get open at the next level. And he played for not only Texas, but also Georgia. He saw some really tough cornerbacks at the next level, at the highest level, or, you know, in the collegiate level. He had 11 receiving touchdowns in 2023. I guess the biggest knocks on AD Mitchell, people call him Adonai, his full name is Adonai, but people call him AD Mitchell, is sometimes they don't like his intensity. Like sometimes they feel like from game to game, sometimes he doesn't give it his all. Sometimes he's just, you know, not 100% all the time. He's good with his hands, but sometimes he's a cradle catcher. He has some great plays against really good cornerbacks, but then sometimes he also allows smaller players to get into his space of the contested catches. I there's a lot to like about him. I think he's a project, but he can instantly come in and make an impact for the Buffalo Bills. So I like that pick. John, do you have anything to add to that one?
No, just that I think, like, from a realistic standpoint, he's like out of all the receivers we've talked about so far, he's could actually be available for the Bills, where the other four I don't think will be if the Bills stay put.
Yeah, when Brian Thomas Jr. is the most mock drafted to the Bills, I think that's very unlikely. I think Adam Mitchell, like, I think you're right. I think that's a possibility that he ends up going to the Bills. Another player that you said that you liked, which I think is going to go, I think the Bills don't need to trade up to necessarily get him because he is pretty raw, is Xavier Leggett, the wide receiver out of South Carolina. He's 6 foot one, 221 pounds. You know, I've been listening to a lot of draft analysts talk and you know, speculate on prospects. And one thing that they mention a lot is play strength, right? Like these guys, like, are they able to, like, you know, play to their size or more? And Xavier Leggett, 6 foot one, not super tall, but 221 pounds, like solid strength. I've heard people compare him to DK Metcalf, which I don't know is necessarily fair at this level, but Like he's just got amazing play strength. He's fast. He's a 4.39 40-yard dash. He's just raw at this point. You know, he's one of those guys that uses his strength and size, but you know, he just hasn't been doing it a lot for at the next level or at the collegiate level. So I think it's just more of a project. I see him more of like a, he'll be there for the Buffalo Bills. I don't know if they want to take him with a first round pick. I don't know if they're expecting someone to be a little bit more ready than he is, but I mean, I'd be okay with it knowing that the Bills need a wide receiver. He has a lot of potential, man.
What are your thoughts on Keon Coleman, Florida State?
You know what's funny? I don't know if this is fair, but whenever I think of a really tall wide receiver from Florida State, I think of who I can't even think of his name now. Who's the guy the Bills traded for from Carolina, that wide receiver?
Oh, Kelvin Benjamin.
Kelvin Benjamin. Yeah, for some reason, I always think of like Kelvin Benjamin, Keon Coleman, Kelvin Benjamin. I don't know why, just tall wide receiver from Florida State. But I like him. I mean, again, like another guy with 6'3", 213 pounds. He is not fast, right? 4.61 40-yard dash. Not super explosive, but he's also a basketball player, so he's got a lot of like ability to use his size. Some of these guys I mentioned that have good size, like they haven't really figured out how to use it yet. He's one of those guys that has. Man, there's a lot to like. He's just another raw prospect. John, do you like the potential of Keon Coleman?
I do. Yeah. I kind of have like Leggett and Coleman kind of like in a, like a second. I don't know how I didn't really tear these out well, but in my head, but so I mentioned, you know, Brian, we talked about Brian Thomas and Ed Knight Mitchell. I would have those two above like the tier where I would have like Leggett and Coleman.
So let's say, John, scenario wise, the first three wide receivers are off the board. Brian Thomas is off the board. Adonai Mitchell is off the board. Would you select either Keon Coleman or Xavier Leggett, or would you try to trade back because you don't necessarily like the value for those guys at that point?
That's tough. Yeah, the Bills draft is weird. So like trading back, they already have 11 picks, mm-hmm. but they only have two picks in the first 120-something picks. They don't have a third-round pick. They just have a bunch of fourth, fifth, and sixth-round picks. Mm-hmm. I don't know. That's a hard one. Or they could go with a different position.
Yeah. Part of me thinks that if it gets to this point and Keon Coleman and Xavier Leggett are there, well, let's think about like what Bean usually does in the first round.
Trade up.
Yeah. It's more likely that they trade up. So part of me thinks that Keon Coleman and Leggett aren't even an option unless there's a run. And like one of those two guys is already taken, and then it's just like, well, I either get Leggett or Coleman, or I wait until the second round to see what's available. So, yeah, I mean, it'd be really nice if they did trade up for Brian Thomas Jr. from LSU or Addie Mitchell from Texas, but I don't know. Let's see. Hold on. Let me see. Like a lot of these players like are going earlier than we think they are. So let's see.
And you also got to think somebody's going to, I don't know where you would have somebody like Xavier Worthy. I wouldn't have him for the Bills just because he's undersized, I think, for what they want. But he's probably in the top six or seven receivers also, right?
If we're
thinking about other teams, like Xavier Worthy.
Xavier Worthy. So Xavier Worthy, which set the record for the 40, right? With like a 4.21 or something like that. Just like blazing speed fast, right? What do you think about him in general? So, would you take him at that spot or later?
So I don't think I would want the Bills to take him just because he's undersized, I think, for what I want the Bills to have.
And he has catch issues. He has hands issues, which I don't like.
Yeah, but somebody's going to take him. So like, if there's like a run on, let's say, receiver, he might be one of those guys in that run that we don't have to worry about necessarily.
Yeah, good point. Good point. So I'm just looking at the mock draft NFL mock draft database, and where Brian Thomas Jr. is going is like, you know, I'm just giving you like the most recent mock drafts. It's like 24, 17, 18, 16, 27, you know, 17 to the Bills. Like this was just like, you know, so, but the Bills are the 28th pick. It's like, I am hard pressed to find any picks, any mock drafts that show him after, geez. I mean, there's only a few that show him at 28. So even though he's the most mock drafted player to the Buffalo Bills, like he doesn't show up for the Bills that often as he does compared to a lot of other teams before the Bills. You know what I mean? It'd be different if he was like at 28, but then he was also at like, you know, 31 or something like that. But he ain't making it past 28 very often. So it's almost like worst case scenario for Brian Thomas Jr. is he ends up with Buffalo at 28.
Yeah, I think if they want him, they'd have to trade up for him.
Just doesn't. Now, on the flip side, let's look at Adonai Mitchell, the wide receiver from Texas that we like. He's looking around the range as the Buffalo Bills. This is much more likely. You're seeing him at 28, 23 to the Chargers, 28 to the Bills, 32 to the Chiefs. Oh, jeez. John, what do you think? I think the Chiefs might be willing to trade up. We were talking about the Bills trading up, especially with the Rashee Rice news. Like, I think it's possible the Chiefs trade up.
Well, that's possible. They probably would want a receiver regardless, but you mentioned possible effort issues with Adonai Mitchell. How concerned are you with that?
That's a good question. I think that's a good question just in general. How much do you take away from like effort in play in and play out versus like, can I give you an example of a guy that's like has effort issues in the NFL, but is an amazing player, is one of the best at his position, is Chris Jones. Chris Jones doesn't give it his all every single play, but he is a major factor when it matters and all throughout a game, right? Like when he wants to be, he's a game wrecker. So I know I'm talking about one of the best, and I'm sure there's plenty of people like Kelvin Benjamin that just take off, right? Just stop playing or whatever. But with Adonai Mitchell, he played with Georgia in the SEC, and he was doing well there. He won a national championship with them. He just didn't get the opportunity that he wanted, so he went to Texas. Man, I like him a lot, and I think that the Bills could bring out the best in him for effort, don't you?
I hope so. I think because it seems like, just looking at the players and the teams and the potential flow of the draft, that the probability of the Bills getting him would be better than a lot of these other guys, either because they were taken ahead of them or because he's going to be the next on the list.
Yeah, exactly. Well, last year, remember, there was a run on wide receivers right before the Bills pick because we were looking at, oh, you know, they can get Jackson, Smith, and Jigba, and then he went to the Seahawks, and then like four out of the next five picks were wide receivers. I was like, well, there goes that, right? Unless you're reaching for one at that point. The Bills ended up trading up for Dalton Kincaid. So part of me still wonders if they go wide receiver, but yeah, I think that's something that with the Bills have, unlike some other teams maybe that are picking at the beginning of the draft, the Bills have really good leadership within that offensive room because, you know, you mentioned this last week in the podcast and previous podcast, the Bills only lost two starters in the offensive side of the ball. They have a lot of young, good players there. So I think that they have a lot of leadership, veteran leadership. I think it's a good locker room that any young wide receiver would be coming into.
Yeah. And if they don't take a receiver, it's probably either going to be defensive back or defensive lineman.
It's very likely, depending on who falls to them. And we'll have to talk about those on another one. But yeah, I mean, all those guys you mentioned, Brian Thomas Jr., Adonai Mitchell, if it ends up being that the Bills could trade back or with a second round pick, John, because you know a lot of wide receivers will be flying off the board. If Xavier Leggett or Keon Coleman ended up with the Bills' second round pick, I'd be thrilled about that. I think that's sure. Good value.
Yeah.
Even Troy Franklin out of Oregon, who's a guy, is 6'2", 176 pounds, so very small frame. He's got height, but he doesn't really have great play strength. He doesn't really have great ability to break tackles, but he's got a 4.41. He's fast. He's got ability to create space. It's just a matter of can he get the ball in space, because he's one of those guys that, like, I think once there's some contact, he goes down, right? Like that, and that's okay. The Bills could use a guy that can still catch the ball and has good, great hands, right? But I like him better in the second round than the first round. If I'm going to get a first round, I want a guy who's like close to a starter or close to being like wide receiver one, or could be wide receiver two this year and potentially wide receiver one in the next year or two. You know what I mean?
Yep. That would be ideal.
So we didn't mention this earlier, but the Rashee Rice, is he just got in like a 6-car accident with his Corvette, drag racing someone else or whatever. So another wide receiver, man, what is it with wide receivers and deciding that they have to race? It's like, you know, I get it. They're very fast guys, like Need for Speed or whatever, but man, like Henry Ruggs, there's another guy recently. I'm Jordan Addison, I think. Guys, I don't know what it is. So you're taking a young wide receiver potentially away from Patrick Mahomes, one of his few good wide receivers. Sure, they, you know, signed Marquise Brown this offseason, but they're going to need to replace that talent, and I could see them doing it in the first round somehow, either trading up or whatever. We should talk about that in a soon future episode, John, with how much they would have to give away to trade up and how far they could get depending on like which picks they could package together. You know, you want Brian Thomas Jr., he's going around number 20. What would it take to get to number 20?
Yeah, I saw a tweet about that recently, actually. See if I can pull it up. I think I sent it to you. Yeah, oh, here it is. It's on One Bills Live, I think.
Number 28 plus next year's round one should get Buffalo to around pick number 10 or 11 this year. Number 28 and number 60, so their first and second round picks, should get Buffalo to around pick number 17 or 18. Now, here's a question for you, John. You could potentially get one of those top three wide receivers if you give away next year's number one pick, first round pick.
That's tough. I'm assuming Harrison and Neighbors will be gone before 10 or 11, but the third guy might be there. And then if you're looking at the second one to giving up a second to move up to 17 or 18, that might be good enough to get Brian Thomas, the fourth guy.
Yep, exactly.
More do you like to give up next year's first? That's
Well, it's tough because if Leggett or Coleman or maybe even Troy Franklin got to number 60, their second round pick, you could potentially get a starting defensive tackle or safety or corner even, defensive end, an edge rusher. Like, I mean, that's tough to...
Plus, if you get rid of pick number 60, that you don't pick again until 128.
That's forever.
So,
That's tough.
I almost like the first one better.
Giving away next year's first round pick, right?
Yeah, they're going to win the Super Bowl next year anyway. With it, whatever.
It's worthless. This might as well be a second round pick. Man, I hate giving away future firsts. Remember, every year that we do that, minus the Josh Allen year, which I thought was warranted. Do we give away the first round pick of the next year, or am I thinking of when they moved up to get Tremaine Edmonds? I can't remember. One year recently, they gave away a first round pick, the following year's first round pick. And you're never as happy with a second round pick. When your first pick is a second round pick, you're like, meh, you know, like that draft kind of sucks a little bit. Right. Or when they trade away for Stephon Diggs, that's what I'm thinking of. So that year when they drafted second round as their first pick, which I believe was AJ Epinesa, I think it was that trip. I was like, okay, all right. I wasn't excited about it.
Yeah.
But if I take it all like this year, I take it all in the you know, cheek this year, then I'm a little bit more okay with it. Okay, it's done. Next year, start over again, right? Like, I mean, they could give away 28 and 60, and yeah, it would suck to not pick again till 122, but 128, what was it, 128? 122,
yeah, 128.
128, it's like, that would suck, but you still end up with, like, you know, potentially eight players. Man.
They do have a lot of picks after, you know, rounds 4, 5, and 6.
Are we ever excited about 4th, 5th, and 6th rounders, though, really? Like, I'm kind of like,
you know, your Matt Milanos and your, I mean, they've
Wyatt Tellers.
Yeah. They've done some good.
Okay. I'll find a way to justify anything in my sports fandom for the Buffalo Bills.
So, I guess the question is, would you trade up to number 11? Would you trade up to like 17? Or would you stay put and then pick, let's say Adonai Mitchell would be the third option? Or I guess the fourth would be to trade down for like Leggett or Coleman. It's a lot of options.
Dude, like I'm at the point in our conversation and you know, in my research over these wide receivers that like I don't want to get past Adonai Mitchell. I feel like that below, that's like another tier, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. To me, like, not that I don't think you can get a starter, not that I don't think you can get somewhere good. Like, you could probably get somewhere good in the third or fourth round. Like, you know, it's very possible. It's just in my head, I'm like, this guy needs to be after Adonai Mitchell. I don't want Keon Coleman or Xavier Leggett. So if Adonai Mitchell is there at 24 and the Bills have to trade up and give away a fourth rounder, hopefully just one fourth rounder, I'd be more okay with it. But what about you? What do you think?
Yeah, I think I agree with you about the tiers. The other tricky part is, like, we're talking about these trade-offs and, like, you know, we have like the top six receivers or whatever, and they're not all going to be superstars. There's going to be busts mixed in there too. And that's, without being able to predict that and giving up draft picks and stuff, is, it's hard. But Bean's done that though. He's moved up, maybe not to that degree, but I don't know. That's tough.
We'll keep thinking about, like, when he didn't trade up for Trent McDuffie and someone traded ahead of the Bills, and the Bills had to draft, you know, Kyrie Elam. And part of me just thinks that there's, like, no way that Bean doesn't draft or trade up to get someone. I just don't know if it's going to be a wide receiver. I kind of hope it will be. But I think so, John, I put it up on Twitter. I said, pick a first round wide receiver not named Harrison, Neighbors, or Odunze that you want the Bills to draft and why. And Jay writes, Brian Thomas Jr. is the next Julio Jones. Size, speed, deep route running, contested catch abilities there too, would fit the Bills' mold for a field stretcher and a separator. You can teach a route tree, not his size and athleticism, which we mentioned before. His route tree isn't fully developed, but size and athleticism, man. The Bills, I'm trying to think of the last time the Bills had a guy that was that big and that fast on their roster, and I don't know if they have. I mean, this is something we're just not used to that. So Andrew Ensing writes, Ladd McConkey, because Joe Marino said so. And Joe Marino said more in on Leggett than McConkey. So that was interesting. They said that McConkey, I haven't done a ton of research, but he sounds like he's more of a slot guy. He doesn't have crazy like speed and burst like a lot of these guys we've discussed do, but like he sounds like one of those like all around really solid wide receiver prospects. I haven't done enough research on him, so like maybe in the second round, like we weren't talking second round wide receivers, but I do a little bit more research on like those top 10, top 15 guys, and I see Ladd McConkey there. I might be okay with that. David writes, Brian Thomas Jr., complete wide receiver, worthy speed that can catch. Mostly can catch. He's got a lot of speed, though, for sure. Both likely gone by 28. I think somebody will fall in love with Worthy and just see that like he's just blazing speed, and some team just in love with it will expect him to be a wide receiver one. And he Xavier Worthy might end up being like another John Ross. We'll see. Chet 1028 writes, Thomas, Mitchell, or JPJ? Chicken wing of truth, Franklin. He's the proven best deep ball wide receiver outside of the top three wide receivers. Now, that is interesting about Troy Franklin, because the Bills don't have that deep threat. I think Curtis Samuel is the closest thing the Bills have to a deep threat, you know? I mentioned it during the free agency period. We talked about him kind of being like a younger Emmanuel Sanders. The Bills could use like a tall, fast version of, you know, a guy that can get deep. Te Pujol Katine says, Xavier Leggett, ceiling to be a true number one wide receiver who can align at the X, fight through press, win deep, win at the catch point, and turn on the yak burners. That's true. There's a lot of things I like about that. Wide receiver one ceiling is hard to find outside the top three. Leggett is that for me. AJ Brown type of potential. That's a lot right there. You know, it's just a matter of, you know, do you want him? If you trade down, John, like let's say you don't love Leggett at 28. If you do trade down with someone and hope to draft him again, you better hope you don't let him get past the Chiefs. You know, like if you trade down, don't go past 32 because you might not get him if that's the guy you have your eyes on. All these guys like that I like, I'm getting upset if the Chiefs draft them. Daniel Davis writes, any wide receiver that knows how to track the deep ball. Lots of that in this draft, though. Lots of speed in this draft. John, you have a choice between Xavier Leggett or Keon Coleman from Florida State. Who do you pick?
It's close. It's really close for me between those two. I can't pick.
One's bigger, one's faster. I think I like, man.
That's a tough one. These are all tough questions.
I think, man.
I'm going to lean Coleman.
Okay.
If I had a pick.
Okay. Douglas writes Thomas, and it's not even close. The stuff Davis did not on the stat sheet needs to be replaced. Carl Safe said McConkey because you told me to. I never said that. It's funny, though. Xavier Leggett, because Josh called him a big, fast dude and loves his southern draw. Have you ever heard Xavier Leggett talk?
No.
It reminds me a little bit of hearing Patrick Mahomes talk for the first time. You're just like, I did not expect that voice out of that person for some reason. He's got like a real big Southern drawl, like the guy said. It's pretty funny. Sounds almost out of a cartoon just because you wouldn't expect it, but yeah, I'd be perfectly fine. I mean, I'm coming around to a lot of these guys, but yeah. Yeah, John, that was a lot of fun. We'll talk next week. Maybe we can talk up some trade scenarios with like some concrete numbers, or maybe we talk safety or defensive tackle, defensive line in general, guys that could be available at 28 or maybe within the realm of trading up for, maybe some tiers and stuff like that. Is there anything else you want to add? I mean, we talked a lot about wide receivers, prospects, guys that we like, guys we're not so keen on, but anything else?
No, I don't think so. There's still some receivers out there in free agency. I don't know if you want any of them, though.
Who do you
Michael
see?
Michael Thomas. Michael Thomas is still out there.
You'd love Michael Thomas. We already have a slot receiver, John.
I know. Well, he can.
We got two of them.
He's Hunter Renfro, I think Mike wants. So we got that as an option still.
I like Hunter Renfro. Third and Renfro, man. We need a new one. Would it be third and Shakir? Shakir and Bake? Khalil the... I can't think of anything. I'm trying to think of an animal that rhymes with eel. Khalil the eel.
Khalil the eel.
Eel, he's slippery. He's slippery. He's fast. He's slippery. You're like, you're stretching on that one, Nate. I had a guy, I've never caught an eel or really seen one that wasn't in an aquarium or something. But like, I had a guy that would fish, and he's like, you ever caught an eel? I said, no, I've never caught an eel. He's like, they're slippery, man. He's like, they come into your boat and you try to, you know, get them, and they got teeth, so you try to like grab them so they don't bite you, and like, they're really slippery. It's really hard to get a hold of them to throw them off your boat or something. So Khalil the eel, slippery. I like it. Until you come up with something better, that's what we'll do.
Third and Khalil.
Khalil the killer? Third and Khalil. Don't you dare do a third and whatever nickname, unless it's third and short or something, third and shorter, like for Justin Shorter. Don't go around doing this. You'd be like, well, actually, he usually catches a third down pass when it's third and long, so that doesn't really count. Yeah. Thank you guys all so much for listening. Please leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to Circling the Wagons podcast. Mike couldn't make it this week, but we're hoping he can make it next week for some more talk. If you guys didn't hear last week's episode, we went over a lot of cool things free agency-wise, positional need-wise, and we had about like 5 minutes of just like pure tangential hilarity, which I would highly recommend. I listened back a couple of times, usually while editing and doing other things, and it was LOL. It was LOL worthy. So thank you guys all for listening. We'll talk to you guys more pre-draft things, any news and notes. So signing off for, hey, John, real quick. I was just about to sign off. What do you think of PSLs for the stadium?
I don't like PSLs.
I hate them. I hate them. I don't even have season tickets, and I think they're atrocious. Can I ask you, like, sure, you know, I'm glad the Bills are in Buffalo, whatever. But like the PSLs, so like Pegula's spending like, let's say, half the amount of money in the stadium, right? Taxpayers, Joe Schmo like you and I are paying the other half, right? So like, you know, half of the stadium gets funded, which is unlike, like, I have a thing against billionaires. Not like I hate them or anything like that. I'm just like, you know, I just don't like to fund their project because they don't fund my projects. Like, I don't get half my house from a billionaire. You know, I get, so like for me, I'm like, well, it just is what it is. Like, I can't get past it. But like, when their half is also the half that they end up paying also comes out of our pockets in the form of PSLs, which I know is, it just happens everywhere in the NFL has PSLs now. But like, so like, that's how they offset their construction costs. I'm just like, wow. So we're just, it's just keep on paying. We just don't ever stop paying, you know? So I'm not a fan of it. It's like a necessary evil though, right?
No, it shouldn't have to be. But it's easy to do. It's like, oh, everybody else is doing it, so we should do it too, make more money, and blah, blah, blah.
I mean, there's talking about like club level seats, right? So like, we've looked into club level seats just because it would be cool. Like, I've looked at them, like, let's say they're like $3,000 or $4,000 a year, right? Like, not cheap whatsoever. That's probably why we haven't bought them. But like, you know, it's an expensive seat. You know, it's covered. You know, there's a lot of amenities that come with it. $3,000 or $4,000 seat. There's talk that it is up to $25,000 for a PSL for one ticket. So like, not only will the tickets went up from, I'm sure, $3,000 or $4,000, but probably like $8,000, right? So automatically you're paying more for the tickets in general, but then you have that one-time fee of $25,000. Like, I don't know about you. Like, I don't have $25,000 just laying around. And that's only one ticket. Like, let's say you have two tickets. Let's say it's you and your wife or you and your friend. Like, that's $50,000 to keep those tickets. Like, that's crazy, right? Like, that's a lot of money. Like, maybe I'm just talking from my own standpoint. I don't have $50,000 to spend, but that seems like a lot of money.
Yeah. What do you know what the how much they are for non-club seats?
So they haven't released that information yet. To like regular season ticket, they're kind of rolling it out. You know, they're trying to piss off everyone in like waves.
So, oh, good.
But I mean, let's say you're figuring, you know, club seats were like $3,000 or $4,000 a ticket. Regular season tickets, like decent tickets, would be like maybe, you know, $1,000, right, a ticket. So I guess you would think incrementally it'd be like maybe $5,000 for a PSL. So that's a lot of money too, right?
Remember when we got season tickets for like $300 or whatever it was?
Yeah. It was $300. It was amazing. It was amazing. Can't do that ever again. Dude, those days are past. We were living in an amazing time because those tickets right now are almost $1,000. Those $300 tickets, season tickets, are $700 or $800 or something like that. The cheapest tickets in the entire stadium are where we had season tickets. But yeah. All right, my dog's whining. She's definitely got to go outside, and I don't want her to pee on the floor, so I got to take off. This was a fun conversation. Thank you guys all for listening. Signing off for John.
Go Bills.
And for me, Nate, go Bills, and we'll talk to you guys again next week.
Thank you for listening to the Circling the Wagons podcast. Download and subscribe to us in your favorite podcast service. Email us at ctwpod@gmail.com. That's Charlie Tango Whiskey Pod at gmail.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at ctwpod. And most importantly, go Bills!
Nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills.
Nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills, Nate.
Well, listen, the whole show is called Circling the Wagons. Say no more. I love it.